Global Impact.
Global Impact.
A mission that is at the very heart of our church.
To bring the good news of Jesus to the world.
As he was ending his time on earth, Jesus gave the church the Great Commission.
His message was simple. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Since 2007, we've partnered with over 20 places around the world.
Over 29 partners and ministries.
And this number continues to grow.
Global Impact Celebration is the highlight of our year.
It is a special time when we come together by flying in our partners from all over the world.
So our church members can personally connect with them.
We hear updates of the life-changing work they do through their ministries.
Worship together.
Hear incredible testimonies.
And inspiring messages.
It's also a time to take up our faith commitment offering,
so we are able to continue financially supporting our partners in the coming year.
We live out our call locally in Regina,
nationally in Canada,
and internationally all over the world
by coming together to live out the Great Commission.
Our heart is to be led by the Holy Spirit
and communicate the gospel
by supporting churches and church leaders as they impact their communities,
by equipping apostles around the world through leadership training and missions,
in making personal connections with the people we partner with,
and by meeting the practical needs of our partners and those they minister to.
We can achieve a bold and far-reaching impact for the kingdom of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Jason Bandura. I'm one of the pastoral staff here at Harvest City, and we are excited for the 18th annual GIC. I don't have that much history at Harvest City, and so GIC is still a relatively new thing to me, but this year's version is less than 2 weeks away. So if you didn't hear all of the announcements because you were impressed by our Manly Moving Company happening up here, then there's a few things you should know. You should know that on your seats is a little green paper with a QR code. That is there to generate curiosity. Jenny just confirmed for me, 26 of you are curious enough to pass the test because you've already submitted your response. When the conversation this morning feels a little dull and you need something to do for 10 seconds, there you go. That's what you should be doing. We'd love to have your input. This morning, Global, that's the G in GIC, Global Impact Conference. But this morning we want to focus right here, because if you've seen the posters around, then you've seen the word home. This is our theme. And Harvest City Church has partners very local, and then a little farther out, and then all the way on the other side of the planet. And so this week we want to start with those that are most local, home right within our city, or home directly connected to Harvest City Church. And so let me welcome up to the stage Attila and Emily Ciccone, Donna West, Alden and Kate Ludwig, Joel Wells, take off your pastor hat and put on your Lift Evangelistic hat. You'll find out who all these people are. Some of you know them well. You've got years of history. Some of you are newer here. You're not sure who these people are. So find a comfortable seat and we will learn. All right. We've got two people who are obediently taking their children to kids' classes. There's a modeling of good parenting for you. They'll join us when they arrive. But we're grateful to you guys for joining us, grateful for the work that you do day in and day out, and grateful that you're helping us get an early start on this year's GIC. I'll let you introduce yourself when we get there, but we've got some questions preset. Oh, welcome, Emily. Attila, you pokey guy. There they are. There they are. Yes, let's welcome them. A pleasure to have each of you. So there will be some in the crowd who are well-versed in the work you do. They've supported it. They've cheered you on. There'll be others who are hearing some of this for the first time. So right to square one, let's just start. We'll start. Attila and Emily, are you settled enough to be our first respondents? All right. Tell us, what is your ministry? What is it you do? Who do you serve? When do you meet? Give us some of the basics.
Hello, hello. Okay, works.
Hello.
Great. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Bless you. We are with Morningstar Ministries. This is an inner city church here in Regina. We primarily serve North Central. We love the people there. There's big needs, a lot of brokenness, drug addiction, poverty, but beautiful people, beautiful people. Yeah. We meet every Sunday at 11 a.m., so in about an hour and 15. So if you are done with this service, you're welcome to go there. you might even enjoy it, maybe. You know? It's a great church, so you're always welcome to come and join us.
Very good. What about Donna? Let's jump down here. Tell us about City Kids.
All right. So, yes, I'm Donna West with City Kids Regina, and we are working with children in low-income communities, particularly, again, the North Central community. We are helping kids rise above their circumstances, increasing resiliency, and helping them to inspire them to dream big. We do door-to-door transportation. We provide nutritional lunches, and we just provide get song stories just to help them know that there is somebody, God, out there that loves them and cares for them, and just building relationships with them and their families.
Beautiful. Kate and Alden, tell us about your work.
Okay. We're Love Lives here, Regina, because it's actually in other locations as well. We are a mobile inner city ministry, and our platform is the school bus converted into a mobile coffee house / church on wheels. We serve in North Central, the core, and the hood. And it started about 30 years ago when Pastor Glenn Povey at Morningstar was looking out his church window and seeing the dynamics of the community, and he prayed they would come into his church. He eventually realized that not all of them were going to grace the doors of his church, so he chose to meet them where they're at. He took hot chocolate and donuts, and met the girls and served the girls on the street and others passing by. Eventually, others joined them, and they started serving around North Central, driving here and driving there, and that led to where we are this day.
Very good. Yeah?
Yep. Sorry, we're learning to share. So we have a Tuesday team. Attila is part of that that goes out in the afternoons. And Eldon and I lead the Friday night team. And we head out in the evening. And quite often we don't get home till the wee hours of the morning. So I give credit. I know some of our team members are out here. I give you credit for hanging out with us till the wee hours and ministering on the streets. We take out food supplies. So we provide hot drinks, cold drinks, sandwiches, fruit, chips, pastries. And we also have clothing supplies, which consists of coats, hoodies, mini gloves, socks, toques, scarves, footwear, anything a human body would need to stay warm. We also have blankets, hygiene packs, and Bibles. And most of all, we take prayer with us. And the list actually goes on and on. We meet early in the evening on the Friday team night to prepare the food and drink, and then we load up the bus with our supplies. And we've learned over the years that if we leave anything on the bus, it becomes a target for vandalism. You've seen pictures of the bus torn apart. So we've learned that we need to load up and then unload at the end of the night. After we've loaded up, then we take lots of time in prayer, because where we're going into, we need our hearts prepared. And we need to surrender to the plans of the Lord. So then we head out onto the dark streets and look for the divine appointments God has prepared for us. And a common saying we have on the bus is, no night is ever the same. But we do know who is the same, and what he does is the same, and that is he reaches broken hearts and the lost people in the community.
Beautiful. Yeah. Joel, we're coming your way.
All right, so Lift Evangelistic Ministries is a ministry that was started here in this church about, I think it's about 10 years ago now, and really began as a dream that I had when I was a young man watching Reinhard Bonnke preach the gospel on television and dreaming that maybe one day I would be able to preach in crusades myself. And so that that vision has sort of always percolated within me, and 10 years ago that became a reality, and I had an opportunity in Uganda to preach the gospel in a crusade type setting. And the next year was able to bring a team from our church, and many of you know Pastor Anatoly. He wasn't a pastor at that time, fairly new to our church, and had come with me, and he He said, Joel, if this ministry is, if this is to go to another level, you need to start a ministry and you need a crusade director and basically volunteer to be that guy for me. And that sort of became the beginning of an official ministry that came under the leadership here of Harvest City Church, a ministry of this church. And really the passion of it is to preach the gospel in big stadium type events, mass crusade evangelism, I guess you could say proclamation evangelism. But on top of that, it has sort of morphed into being a ministry that also brings teams to preach the gospel in local schools. Oftentimes we'll do 10 to 15 high schools, even elementary schools. Sometimes those assemblies are 3,000 people themselves, so they're like mini crusades. And along with that, because I'm a pastor, I know that pastors need to be encouraged and strengthened, and so we have also done pastors' conferences throughout the days of the crusade as well. And so our heart has been to sort of have a well-rounded approach when we come into a community to really saturate the community with the love of God, encourage churches, and also win people to Jesus. And so far to date, those crusades have mainly happened all over Uganda, but also in the last couple of years, we've ventured into Pakistan as well.
Okay, there we are. These are four ministries, as I say, doing very different work, some of them right here city-wise, some of them right here church-wise, but now we have an overview. Some of us heard their reports a year ago, so rewind with us, GIC 2023, there were certain things you told us, now we're arriving 12 months later. What's the key points of update? What have been the great parts of the past year, challenges of the past year, places where Harvest City's support has been instrumental, things that you're excited about in the year going ahead? Donna, you're closest.
All right, so yeah, it has been a very, as I put it, an up and down year for City Kids. We have seen some great growth. We've gone through some challenges, and kind of what I refer to is we are in a rebuilding stage. We're just really starting to get back from the pandemic and really getting out there and impacting the kids. So the things we have seen since last year at GIC was we have introduced our Summer to Remember more than just sending kids to the various camps. We are actually doing our own Summer to Remember program. So we've been getting the kids out to field trips and bowling, and the kids are already asking when that is going to start up again. That's what they want. They want to do the field trips. They want to be out there and having fun. The other thing that is just getting started, we did our first lesson a couple weeks ago, is the youth group told us they wanted drama. Not sure what they meant by drama, but I took it as drama classes. Yes. And we have brought in a drama leader that is going to be doing some plays and teaching the kids some acting. And I was just so impressed with the first week that we had this to watch them. We only have a small group of youth right now that are very consistent coming out. So we opened it up to some of the younger kids. And we're going, not sure how this is going to work. They're very closed up. But he handed them a script to read. It took them a little bit, but within 5 minutes, you could just see the excitement in their voice and hear the excitement in their voices and coming out there to do that. So we're really looking forward for that. Finances from Harvest City, we would not be able to do what we do without those finances. We do. That's yes. as I mentioned, we do door-to-door transportation, so we need to pay for buses. We provide nutritional meals for these children, and for many of them, that's the only lunch they're getting all weekend. And so just being part of that, and this year at Christmas time, we actually got to partner with the program Jason runs, the Regina Christmas Wish List, and the youth wrote, they had to write some stories about themselves and why they wanted these gifts, and I was in tears reading some of the stories because they really, I didn't help them, I just told them, if you want your gift, you got to do this. And the stories that came back were so impactful for me, and the thankfulness that these kids had to get what they actually asked for and to just be able to be there. So yes, we are very grateful for all the support we get from Harvest City.
Lovely. Kate and Alden.
Overall, the last year has the bus has functioned well as a ministry, like a well-greased wheel. What we have noticed is that there's an increase in homelessness, hunger, gang activity, and street workers. The drugs on the street are brutal. We have lost many of our patrons to overdoses or suicide, and we spend a lot of time comforting, helping people grieve with the heart, the pain in their hearts. And there are some families that have lost two or three members just in 1 week. So it's some become angry with God, but our team is amazing. They spend time listening to the people speak, and then they deposit God's truth into their hearts. Mm. We also have many that are strung out on drugs that come to the bus, but we still feed them, we clothe them, and we pray for them. We have some that have come along and their amazement, what they have done in their lives, and we stop and visit and encourage and pray with them as well.
So we are a 100% volunteer-based ministry. Many on the street are baffled as to volunteering our time to do this, but God knows why we do it, and we know why we do it, so that's all that matters there. But all the financial support we receive goes towards the bus, the office, the storage, and the compound that the bus is stored in. And it also goes towards feeding and clothing and reaching the people. We also appreciate, there's the financial part, but there's also the prayer support that we receive from you, and we are so thankful. I know that you pray for us during the week, but also there are those that have decided to pray for us while we're out on the streets. And because of that, you guys go with us. It's like you're on the bus with us, so we thank you for that. We also thank you for supporting us in our Christmas Eve outing. You have provided homemade baking and socks and gloves and whatever we ask for. You guys have been so faithful to provide. And we are blessed beyond measure for the financial support so we can focus on the ministry and put our energy into ministering to the people. Jesus said, you will always have the poor amongst you. I add, what are you going to do about that? Well, you guys are doing something about that. By supporting us ministries up here, again, you are going with us. We are making a difference. And again, I repeat, Mother Teresa, if you focus on the mass, you'll get overwhelmed. But if you focus on one, that will lead you to another, which will lead you to another. And so that's what we do. So thank you so much.
That's great, Kate. Let's keep going down the line, Joel.
All right. This last year, we did two major gospel festivals, one in Uganda, one in Pakistan. I was thinking, you know, when we first began, coming up with $20,000 seemed like such a huge goal. How are we going to do this? And saw God supernaturally provide for that. This past year, our budget to do these two events was $225,000. And it felt certainly overwhelming, and yet we saw God provide for us supernaturally. Harvest City contributed 50,000 of the 225,000. Church of the Rock in Winnipeg was also a huge supporter of us for the first time, which really was amazing. And certainly there are other individuals within this congregation that have supported us as well, different churches within LifeLinks this year for the first time. So it was really exciting to see that even our network of churches has really gotten behind what we're doing. And I was excited this year to be able to take some more of our LifeLinks pastors with us to both Uganda and also to Pakistan. And just to tap into their resources, build relationships with them. But I would say that it was our crusade in Masindi was powerful. I think we had around 10,000 on our last night there, and just an amazing response to the gospel with people giving their lives to Jesus, but also being healed and delivered by the power of God. Pakistan, same thing. We were in a predominantly Hindu area of Pakistan. It was kind of a new experience for me in the sense that it was so raw, so unchurched, so many there even unfamiliar with the name Jesus, really. And so to just see the power of the gospel in that type of an event and see so many Hindus coming to Jesus was certainly something I'll never forget.
For sure. Attila and Emily?
That's awesome, Joel. I have to top this somehow, so thanks.
But
that's true. That's true. I am. I think the past year for us, the key word would be transition. As many of you know, Morningstar has been around for 40 years, and actually, originally, it came out from Harvest City. Back in the day, it was called Maranatha, I believe. So we have been around a long time, and Harvest City has supported Morningstar the whole time. So we really, really appreciate the relationship, and I have received a lot of help from the staff, and I have some really good friends here. I think through the people and through the church, I can firmly say, I don't know if we would still be here if it wasn't for you guys, so we really appreciate it. And not just financially, but spiritually. We have gone through the grinder. We have gone under serious attack. But 2022, October, I got ordained as the lead pastor of Morningstar. That's when our founder and beloved pastor, late pastor, Glenn Povey, stepped down. And the transition began then, but it's still continuing. It's still happening. And then, as many of you know, he also, unfortunately to us and fortunately to him, passed away to be with Jesus in February. And so that is another big shift for us in the church, leading and continuing without D. Glenn Povey, an awesome guy, a beloved man. So for us, it has been a season of transition, continued transition. After Glenn passed, I really felt strongly it's a Joshua season, where this great man of God passed, but there is still some firm and strong promises for Morningstar and North Central from God. And I was very encouraged in the spirit just to continue on and carry on the legacy, honoring Glenn and everything he has built. And I think what has been happening in the church, the words I put down is spiritual remodeling. I really feel like God is focusing, wants us to focus and has been focusing on the church, remodeling the church from the inside, building almost repouring the foundation, strengthening the foundation, and that means discipleship, team building. The Lord has led amazing people to Morningstar, some very strong Christians, and we have been very encouraged by just the spiritual hunger and the atmosphere at the church. We see the prayer groups growing. We see the discipleship groups. We started a Hearing God seminar, and a lot of people are attending. There is a freshness. There is an excitement in the church, and we are very grateful. I can honestly say it's not my doing. So I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's prayer, a lot of prayer, and Glenn's passing almost started something too. I think there is a scripture when a seed is put in the ground and dies, it creates something new. And something is happening, something is stirring. So we are excited what's ahead, but it might be a little bit slower than I would hope. I'm impatient, and I would want breakthroughs and amazing things to happen right now. But I think God is building and preparing for something amazing.
Yes.
And of course, in the city too, maybe Joel will mention, has been talking about the stadium event. There has been a big stirring in the city. We see pastors come together, and that is happening in North Central too. A pastor's drawing close together. We had the intercessory team planted in June to an apostolic figure in the summer that has been going and has been incredibly beneficial for us and the churches in North Central. And the food ministry, I don't know if Dane Melby is here, but big clap and thanks to Dane Melby. He has been helping us in Loblaws, getting food donations. We have become pretty much the biggest food distribution center in North Central right now. We are helping lots of churches and people, so we are very grateful for that. And the financial support this year mainly went to repainting the church, which lines up with the spiritual remodeling. We are also remodeling the church.
Yep.
So we repainted the church. I was fighting for pink, but we had to settle with egg white, but
happens.
Maybe next time, sorry. We also bought a truck for the church, a cheaper truck just for the food ministry. We get 900 to 1,000 pounds of food every week, so we needed a truck. So we are very grateful, and I always wanted a truck, and now I have a company truck, so I appreciate that. I might even take it hunting sometimes. Sorry about that, but I'm willing to share the meat, so thanks. My wife just wanted to say she's also very grateful that even this year she still had the best husband in the world. So.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Sure.
within this metaphor of home, we're playing with this year's theme. As there's talk about rooms, there's talk about creating spaces, there's talk about tables and welcoming and all of these things. And so one of the questions we proposed was, when you think of what it's like to have room made, either for you or you making it for others, is there a story you might share when someone prepared a room for you, ministry-wise, maybe faith-wise, or maybe it's the other way, where it's a story of the way you find yourselves preparing room for people through the work that you're doing. Let's maybe start right back down there. Emily?
Okay. Well, quite literally, when we came, there was a room prepared for us. It was a house. Glenn and Julie had cleaned out a little house for us. They set up a crib for our then youngest, had a box of toys for them. So quite literally, a room was prepared. But also, the one thing we noticed when we came, like right from the first day, we felt incredibly welcomed. We felt almost like family by everybody in the church, and Glenn and Julie, especially the Poveys and the Sears. They really welcomed us right away. We didn't feel, I don't know, we just felt really welcomed.
Yes.
Even there's a couple in our church, Ryan and Charisse. They invite us every year to their Christmas dinners, their New Year's dinners, their family days. Like, it really helped the transition moving here too, because leaving our families, we felt like we had a family here waiting for us. So that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And as if you know Glenn and Julie, they are incredibly welcoming people. And that's a huge honor for us to be welcomed and to carry on the legacy. They did tell us later, some of the church members, they tried to be on their best behavior because they didn't want us to leave. But but even without that, it's a very welcoming church and a warm church. And we really hope and pray that we can carry that on. Mm. People walk through morning, study, you're welcome. Even if you're high or drunk, just coming off the street as a prostitute, you're welcome. We would love to see you. And that's how we felt, and that's how we want people feel.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Joel? When I think of my own life and journey in this whole ministry with Lyft, I think of how you never get anywhere in life without the support of other people. And if people don't make room for you, then you don't have an opportunity to grow and become who God has made you to be.
Yeah.
And, we have this phrase in our church, live your call, which is something that we talk about. And it really is the heart of our church, is that we want people to be who God has called them to be. And in order for that to happen as a church, we have to make room for people. Mm. And that's certainly a passion of mine as the pastor here at the church. And I think maybe why it's such a big passion for me is because I've grown up in a church who made room for me. And when I think of even Rachel Hickson, who came to our church so many years ago and found me hiding in the back and called me out and prophesied over me about God's call on my life, and then years later took me to Africa with her for the first time and was a part of a crusade that she was doing, and I still remember her pulling me up onto stage one night at an altar call when there was all these people that had come forward, and she said to me, I want you to see this. I want you to dream. I want you to see what it looks like from my perspective. And she had an evangelist, an African evangelist there, pray for me and lay hands on me that night on the stage, and I still remember vibrating under the power of God as whatever was within him, something was getting on the inside of me. But she made room for me. And I think of Peter Kasarivu seeing something in me and making room for me to preach that first crusade. But then I think of even here at Harvest City Church, as God was beginning to open that door and things were stirring inside, and that was going to mean, if I was really going to go for it, that it was going to be time away and even resources from this church. And I remember sort of gingerly bringing it up to the eldership team of our church and going, what do you think God is doing? And is this a Harvest City thing? And the elders of our church so getting behind and saying, we recognize this is part of God's call on your life, and we're going to make room for that.
Yeah.
And we're going to get behind that. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional here, but I think of, I'm so grateful for this church that has not only, I've never heard anybody say to me, why are you gone or why are you doing these things? I've just had nothing but cheerleading and people coming behind and breathing life onto that vision and that passion. And so I feel like what I'm doing is a result of the fact that this church has made room for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Joel. Donna? Donna, what about you?
All right, so yeah, making room is obviously, I would not even be here being able to share my story if people hadn't made rooms for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, impacted my life on different things to do. And, you know, making rooms kind of goes right from the beginning of your life all the way through. So, yeah, I've had many impactful people in my life and just really support me and encourage me that this is what God has been calling me to do. And even God himself has just showed me over the course of the years on how your life takes the steps that he plans for you. But at City Kids, that's, you know, I guess that's really what we're doing is making rooms for all these children to come to know that they have a safe place to come to, a place where they know is theirs. Mm-hmm. And we've even had our youth have told us that they actually, our needs right now is our own facility, rooms for the youth. And that's what they're looking for. And as far as myself making rooms for others, all through the course of City Kids, mentoring into the lives of these children. Encouraging them and helping them to know that they can reach their dreams. And, you know, the biggest one right now, I think, is our very first City Kids graduate who, you know, I had been mentoring since she was 9 years old and working with that. Her room now is she's always wanted to be working in the community, giving back, and that is exactly what she is doing. Mm-hmm. She is working in an organization in North Central. She is sitting on the board of City Kids, and her room has been prepared for her, and we're watching that even with the other youth that are coming up. Yeah. Working at building a youth advisory team, helping them know that those rooms are there for them, and just being that encouragement for them. And yeah, it's, you know, every room in your house has a specific purpose as well. Mm. And so what room is this? This, you know, as I look at it, we're building the room where the kids know they can come and live. You know, that living room where they can gather and be there and know that that's where, you know, place where God will be with them. But teaching them that God isn't in one room. Mm. God is everywhere. And when you leave the room of City Kids, he will go with you and be there for you as well.
Yeah. Good, Donna. Kate?
Well, when I think of every time the word room I hear, I transported back to 2011 when Eldon and I had to go on a business trip, and we were down in Southern California, and Bethel Church in Redding, California was very close, so we decided to pop in there. They have healing rooms there. So I thought, well, this would be a great experience. So we went in, we registered, and they said, well, it'll be about an hour before you get prayed for. But we do have this encounter room that you can go into, and again, it'll be about an hour. So we went in, and I thought, well, this is pretty cool. Lots of stuff was going on. And on the stage, there was these guys sitting on chairs, and they had their guitars, and they're leaning back, and they're singing, "You came into the room today. You're in the room today." And they'd play a little bit more, and they'd start singing again, "You came into the room today." And I thought, you know, this is okay. I can handle this. But after 10 minutes, I was getting a little agitated, thinking, like, there's another 50 minutes of this. So I looked at Eldon, and I said, "Really? Like, are you kidding me? I was not expecting this." And I'm like, "God, really?" And then I heard him say, "Would you just sit back, relax, and let me do what I do?" So I did, you know, kind of shrugged, crossed my arms and said, okay, fine. So I closed my eyes, and I think I was trying to drown out the, you came into the room today. And then all of a sudden, there was this presence around me. And then I felt his love infusing my heart. And there was something in me that just bolted up, and I'm like, I'm in the room. I'm in the room. I came into the room today. I'm in the room. And so for the next 45 minutes or so, I was just, God was transporting me and working on my heart. Then I knew that I was going to get called to the other room. And I'm like, no, I want to stay in the encounter room. I want to stay here. But I heard our name called. And as I got up, I felt God spoke to me and he said, too often you rush or push for final outcomes or results rather than waiting for me. And it's in the waiting that I will encounter your heart. And so, you know, so now an encounter room is what Eldon is going to share about.
The bus is like a mobile encounter room. We provide a room as simple as it is, and God provides the encounter. Whether it be a sandwich, a smile, a hug, prayer, an encouraging word, even a nap, a laugh, a Bible scripture, a listening ear. We have no other agenda than to be present in the moment and then watch Jesus encounter their hearts.
Now we want to end with just sort of, we've given them questions in advance. They've come prepared. You're hearing very quality answers because of it. But we wanted to personalize one question because each of these groups do fairly different work. And so to Alden and Kate, you've mentioned this encounter room, an encounter room on wheels. If you were to paint scriptures on the walls of the encounter room on wheels, what passages would we see there?
Well, first of all, if you travel into North Central in the hood, you'll see graffiti all over.
Sure.
So it's like painting graffiti inside the walls of the bus. But the scripture, Eldon will share his, but the scripture that stands out the most to me is 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. Mm. And I love the buck God, because many of our patrons are prostitutes, gang members, pimps, johns, addicts, homeless. However, we don't see those labels. We see the broken people. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. But I often wonder, when I look at them, I wonder, what happened to you? Like, what's your story?
Right.
We look at the behaviors. We don't see, or we don't look at the behaviors because we see the symptoms of a wounded heart, severely wounded hearts. And we see the people as human beings who need to be treated with dignity and respect rather than being judged and condemned. We are all in need of a Savior and the love of a good Father. He wants to encounter them just as they are. I think of Billy Graham, just as I am, as he draws the people forward. And the encounter comes even in an old school bus on a dark street with some crazy for Jesus volunteers. And so with your support, you, we provide the room. When we go out, you go out because you're supporting us. And if we can provide the room, God will provide the encounter.
That's good.
Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Does this mean that when we hold the sick, provide for the hungry, the thirsty, the cold, we hold Jesus? I'll leave that up to you to decide. What I can say is we bandage the injured, provide a sandwich for the hungry, a Bible for the searching heart, a hug for the broken person, a shoulder to cry on, a prayer for support, and maybe even a joke for laughter. And yes, at the end of the night, we're physically exhausted, well, tired anyways, but renewed, because we spent the night with Jesus in our mobile encounter room.
To Donna, if people knew you in a different time of life, they wouldn't have known Donna West running City Kids Regina. They would have known Donna West with a government job. So there's something that happened in the middle there. How did you get from one to the other?
For sure. Well, it is actually a very long story, but I'll make it very short. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and plans to prosper you. So obviously God's plan for me, because I remember from the time I was 5 years old, I was going to be a school teacher. So through different challenges and different things in my own life, I walked away from those dreams and I just wandered. I was the Israelites. I wandered in the desert for 40 years. Went through school, and math was always the strong point for me, so I eventually ended up going back to school and got my accounting business admin with accounting and spent over almost 20 years in accounting. 1997, a coworker invited me to church, and of course, again, going through all of the stuff I've been going through, I'm going, I can't go to church. I have to change. But learned again, God calls you as you are. And the church was in North Central. And I went, and from almost the very first day and driving back and forth, for probably the first time I'd been in North Central, was watching all the children out on the streets and just needing more and coming to church. Love Lives Here had a program called Just Kidding that I got involved in, and watching these kids, God just tugged on my heart and I knew that God was calling me back. Yeah, his plan for me was teaching, but it wasn't to sit in a classroom. It was to be out there and work with the vulnerable, be there for our at-risk children. And I shouldn't say I've never looked back. There are days I've asked myself, why did I do this? But God reminds me, and even just this weekend, God reminded me in this past week, we are there to be a support to these families that are going through tough times and challenges. And this past week was one of those where I just had an opportunity to walk along a family who had just lost a loved one and be there and support the kids through all of this. And just, yeah, God has called me, and it is because God has a plan for us, and we can't walk away from God's plans.
No, don't do it. Attila and Emily, you've mentioned a time of transition, a season that feels like a Joshua season. What's some of the vision that you feel like is starting to rise to the top for your ministry?
Yes. So the topic is a room, giving a room. And I never mentioned the challenges in North Central. Sometimes it can feel like an uphill battle, trying to bring people to faith and disciple them. Yep. People are super open. It's actually one of the easiest places on the planet to share the gospel and pray for people, but one of the hardest places maybe on the planet to disciple them and get them on that track and to keep them on that track. So we have been really praying, and I honestly have this hopefully holy frustration of just and this anger of getting in and people transformed and staying on the track, being discipled. And for that, I think we really have to create a room, a space. And as I talk to people, even prophetic people, it cannot be North Central. We have to get people out and create a community for them where they can grow and heal. And it has been on our heart, a place for healing. And we talk about reaching out in evangelism. And as a church, we are a church. So our job is to disciple people, raise up disciples. Mm-hmm. And it has been proving very difficult in North Central. And our vision is, and this is what we have been praying about, is a place for people, a room for people where they can detach from the gang, from the lifestyle, from the community, and enter into a community where they can grow together and encounter God powerfully. Yeah. And how that will look like, I'm not sure. There have been prophecies about a new building or transition house, something, but that's our vision. And we really hope that and believe that North Central can be transformed. Yeah. We just need those divine strategies and your prayer. Please do pray for us, because the battle is brutal. It's brutal. The spiritual warfare is insane, literally. I actually almost had to check into the psych ward in 2021. I'm not even joking. The spiritual warfare was just literally insane. So we really need your prayers, and we really appreciate you. We know many people pray for us. Continue praying for us, and we really appreciate the partnership with Harvest City and all the support we get. Again, without you, we probably wouldn't be here. So we love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel, you've made mention of Pakistan, multiple mentions of Uganda, but I'm aware that your attention has shifted homeward a little bit this year. Describe that to us.
Yeah, this theme of home has really been something that I feel like God is stirring in my own heart, and I've shared a lot of that here on Sunday morning, so I won't go too much into that, other than that in probably September of this year, around this whole come-together event and with Terrell Smith, the Lord really began to speak to me about getting behind it and really helping Terrell, and as soon as I sort of surrendered to that, I really felt like God began to just shift something in my own heart, or maybe it would be pull off the back burner something that has always been in my heart, and that is just the desire to see God do something supernatural in our own nation. I've always felt that what I've seen in Africa and some of these places was actually God showing me what could be, what it looks like, to see the power of God and to see people respond in mass to the message of Jesus. And I think we've lived in a time where people have thought that those days are over, or that was Billy Graham's time, and that doesn't happen anymore in Canada, North America. I believe that's wrong. It's wrong. And I think God is doing something new in our nation, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And even for ourselves, I decided this year I'd only do one overseas trip, and not two this year, so that even financially as a church, we could, through Global Impact, give more towards our own city, and to give my time towards our city. And I just want to say this, church, that if Come Together fell apart tomorrow and we had to cancel the event, it's already been a success. What I see God, and Attila's at these meetings, what we see God doing amongst churches in Regina, the unity of pastors working together. I mean, even this morning I had a text from Nico from Celebration and Larry from the Apostolic, encouraging one another about our meetings today, our services today, and what God is doing in Regina. Nico's been biking around and sent us a picture in front of Mosaic here yesterday. He was on his bike praying for. I just thought, this is absolutely beautiful, what God is doing. And the times of gathering together, the presence of God in those meetings is so rich. And I know more pastors today than I did 6 months ago, and have a much deeper relationship as a result. So God is up to something in our city, and I'm super excited to be a part of it. And I believe we're going to see God do something supernatural in June at the stadium.
Right. I'm going to ask Joel to put his pastor hat back on and close our service in a moment, but we're privileged to hear the stories from local partners today, privileged to work alongside to support the work you do. Can we give them collectively one more hand? Okay, so GIC is 2 weekends away. If it's not in your calendar yet, you're already behind, but you can fix that. Today, you should fix that. Here are the things you need to know. Highlights of that weekend. Friday the 26th will be service here, 7 p.m. Our ministry partner, Francis Muganya, will be sharing the message that night. By Saturday morning, there'll be a chance to meet all of our guests and partners. And as the video said, there will be coffee and donuts from Everyday Kitchen. But you've got to register. Let us know you're coming. And then there's an optional lunch. If you wish to pay a few extra dollars, stick around for a longer time of visiting. That is all there, but it needs to be done by next Sunday. That's the deadline. Orders get made, food gets set up, so you've got 1 week to respond. And then Saturday evening, that's the dessert night. Last year, I found that to be one of the real highlights of the weekend. The worship time, the food shared, the fellowship. Tickets are available, so you need to buy a ticket for that. And then Sunday is the big finale. That's when the faith commitment giving is gathered up. That's when there's only one service. So it will be a big one. 9:15, Terrell Smith will be here. We'll close out our weekend with a bang. That's what happens in 2 weeks. Joel, what happens now?
I think you guys can return to your seat.
All right.
Thanks, you guys. It's such a pleasure to partner with you guys in Regina. Well, as Jason mentioned, we're 2 weeks out from the Global Impact and Church. It really is the highlight of our church calendar. It's the biggest event on our calendar. It's really what we're all about as a church, and we can't do it without volunteers. And Jenny tells me, Jenny Cachaluba and Janelle, they're sort of the ones that are spearheading the whole weekend, putting it together. And we need about another 100 volunteers to pull that off. And so you can sign up to volunteer on our Church Center app. Please go and do that. We just need help with things like setting up and taking down. There's a lot of transitions that happen over the weekend, so we need a lot of manpower to make that happen smoothly, clean up, prepping, serving, those types of things. So please go to the Church Center app and sign up to help out with that. Also, just wanted to let you know that our faith commitment offering last year, we had about $300,000 that was pledged, and we're about 80% of that pledged money has come in. So anything that's given in the next 2 weeks will go towards last year. And so if you made a commitment and maybe you were waiting for your income tax return or something, you're a last-minute person, just want to remind you that you got 2 weeks to get that commitment in. If you can't even remember what you committed, you can always call the church office and we can help you with that. Of course, you can give through the Church Center app or at the church office. Well, why don't you stand to your feet and let's close in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our city. I thank you for what you're doing on the home front. Lord, I thank you for the ministries that we partner with. I thank you for Donna. I thank you for Kate and Alden. I thank you for Attila and Emily. Lord, they are working in a hard part in our city. They are working in a place when a lot of people don't want to go. But God, you've called them there and they've said yes to it. And God, we are just grateful for them. And God, we pray today that you would strengthen them. We pray that you would encourage them. We pray that you would help them. God, we pray today that there would be even a new grace that would come upon them in their ministries, that they would grow and multiply and flourish and prosper. And God, I pray today that you would just continue to increase our expectation level of what you can do in Regina, what you can do in the home front. And God, we pray for this event that's happening in June. God, we pray that it would be an event that historians would look back on and say something shifted in Regina at that time. God, that it would be a historical moment for this city in terms of churches coming together, but also in terms of there being a new boldness, a new effectiveness to win people to Jesus in our city like never before. God, we pray it would be a revival moment in our city. And so, God, we ask that you would breathe upon that whole event as only you can by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church that has such a heart for our community, for our nation, and for the nations of the world. And I pray that even with this celebration coming up, you would renew in us what it is that you're all about and what we should be about. And God, I pray that there would be a renewed passion to see the kingdom of God come in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're free to go. Church, we're a little over time. Bless you. Go get those kids fast. Hang out in the foyer there and have a coffee on your way out the door.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.